grace be unto you. Peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text on this very special Sunday is taken from the book of Proverbs. Proverb is a short saying with an unexpected spiritual application. It's sort of like Ben Franklin's sayings, early to bed, early to rise, makes one healthy, wealthy, and wise. The Proverbs in the Bible are, again, short, catchy truths by which God instructs His people how they're supposed to live. Many of the Proverbs were written by that wisest of the kings, King Solomon. Our text is taken from chapter 25, and we're told that these are the Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, copied. These were written by Solomon, but it wasn't until 200 years later, in the days of that king of Judah, Hezekiah, one of the good kings of Judah, that these Proverbs were written down for us by the Holy Spirit. The proverb that we're going to be studying this morning is explained by Jesus in the Gospel reading, where he told a little longer proverb. It's called a parable. Jesus told about the person that was invited to a wedding feast. And of course, in those days, and sometimes today, it's very important where you sit. There's a pecking order. More important people in front. He says, don't be like the guy who comes in and heads for the head table thinking you're something. Because what's going to happen, they're going to come to you and say, there's a guy here more honorable, you go down to the back. Instead, he says, you go start in the back. Much better if somebody comes up and says to you, hey, come on up here. The application that Jesus made was, whoever exalts himself shall be humbled. Now, the word exalt means to build up, to be puffed up with our own importance. The word humble means lowly, not thinking of ourselves as more important than we really are. And so, in chapter 25, in our text, as you find it in our bulletins, Solomon says, do not exalt yourself in the presence of the king, and do not stand in the place of the great. For it is better that he say to you, come up here, than that you should be put lower in the presence of the prince whom your eyes have seen. So this morning, we want to consider Jesus' application. Whoever exalts himself shall be humble. Unfortunately, today, humility is not valued very much. The very opposite. Now, this is always true because sinful man always has an exalted idea of himself and his own importance and his goodness, especially before God. My wife, when she wasn't feeling well this last week, was forced to watch some of the commercials for the upcoming NFL season. And she had never seen the dances that these guys did after they did something. She's amazed. I was raised a long time ago, and you never were encouraged in athletics to show off. But today, pride is encouraged by the world in which we live. There are even courses now to teach people to be more aggressive, as if any of us have to be taught that. And the idea is, if you don't take care of yourself, if you don't put yourself first, nobody else will. I was reminded this morning when Michael started out for school. I don't know if Sharon was there for the first day of school. He was a shy, humble little guy. Unfortunately, when he got in line for the drinking fountain, he kept getting shoved back as everybody cut in front of him. Today, you're encouraged to put yourself first and not worry about others. Pride. Pride, even on a human level, is not good. In school, teachers and parents are encouraged to promote the self-esteem of their children. Now, there's nothing wrong in a proper sense about feeling good about yourself. But in athletics today, you have games in which nobody wins because we don't want anybody to feel bad about themselves. God warns against pride, especially in a spiritual area. Now, in Jesus' day, there was no one prouder than the religious leaders in Israel, the good people, the church-going people. They were proud because they were the chosen people of God, Israel, the Jews. They were proud because they thought they had kept the outward rules of Old Testament law. Look at me. I observe the Sabbath day. I do no work. Look at me. I pray three times a day and I make sure everybody sees me when I pray. Look at me. I observe all the dietary restrictions of the Old Testament. Surely I am good. And this was personified in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee got up and he prayed proudly, "God, I thank you I'm not like all these other people. I'm better." He says, "Look what I've done." Over in the corner was the Pharisee, the tax collector. Worst sinner. Because not only did he cheat the people by collecting taxes, he worked for the hated Roman government. And he simply wouldn't even look up. He said, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And we're told that God accepted the sinner and rejected the Pharisee in his pride. You have no reason to come to God and say, "Look what I have done." Because we're sinners. None of us deserve anything from God. And it is a terrible thing. And it puts off people when sometimes religion and churches say, "Be proud of what you've done. Be proud of your works." It was that way in Luther's day. Church tried to motivate people by saying, "You have to do good works." And if they did good works, they were praised and honored before men. But God says, as we said in our baptism, there is no reason for any of us to stand up for God, before God, and say, "Look at me." But pride is also, in a spiritual sense, destructive, because the opposite side of the coin is the person who's proud of what he has done despises and looks down on others. What a terrible thing when people point to the sinners out there and say, "Look at them. I am better than they." God says this attitude will lead to eternal destruction. There is no reason for any of us to look down on anyone else, because we are no better in the sight of God. We're all saved by grace alone through Jesus' sacrifice at the cross. And what a foolish thing for us to come before each other and before God and take pride in anything that we have done. Jesus says, whoever exalts himself, which is pride, God will humble. And the things we go through in life remind us that we are dependent upon God. That there's nothing that we can do to earn our salvation before God. Think of the guy that came up to the king. And the king said, you're not worthy to go down. Think of those people on Judgment Day who come before God and say, look what I've done. And Jesus says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Jesus also said, whoever humbles himself, God will exalt. God wants us to come before Him with a humble and lowly spirit. Simply confessing our sins to Him, throwing ourselves on His mercy, appreciating His saving grace through Jesus Christ, our Savior. God has provided for those who are humble a Savior in Jesus Christ. And even baptism is an act of humbleness. These children didn't come to Jesus saying, look at me, I accepted you, I'm one of you, deserve to be one of your children. They came with a humble spirit, confessing their sins, relying on Jesus alone for forgiveness. In fact, Michael, when we were talking about baptism, asked, well, what happens after baptism if I sin? Good question, because we do sin. And God continually forgives us and keeps us in our baptismal grace. We're also reminded this morning of Jesus' evaluation of who is important in His kingdom. Now we might think, well, maybe the preacher's way up there. Nah, you don't think that. Or maybe the person that gives a lot, he's way, or she's way up there. One day, Jesus and His disciples were traveling together on the way to a little town fishing village called Capernaum. And they were talking. But they were talking about something they didn't want Jesus to know about. Do you know what those 12 apostles were arguing about? Did you ever hear Muhammad Ali? They said, which one of us is the greatest? They wanted to know who was the greatest preacher, who was the greatest miracle worker, who was the one that Jesus loved the most. But they knew that Jesus wouldn't like that. And so they were embarrassed when Jesus asked him, what are you disputing among yourselves along the road? They kept silent, the Bible says, for on the road they were arguing about among themselves who was the greatest. So you know what Jesus did? He sat down and He said to the 12 apostles, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. And then you know what He did? He took a little child, set that child in the midst of them. And when He took that child in His arms, He said to them, whoever receives one of these little children in My name receives Me. And whoever receives Me receives not just Me, but Him who sent Me. These children are more important in the kingdom of God because they have a childlike faith than the greatest missionary, the greatest theologian, the greatest preacher. And we have an example in our Lord Jesus of true humbleness. We're talking in our devotions in school that Jesus, the Word, was God. He made everything. He's the light of the world. But He laid that all aside and became human. Not only human, but a servant. He took upon Himself, the Bible says, the form of a servant, humbled Himself, and became obedient to death. And He constantly had to remind His disciples that He had come to serve. The ultimate act of service. He laid down His own life as a ransom price for all of us. So we pray today that Jesus would keep these young people in their baptismal faith, but that He would remind all of us that whoever humbles himself, God will exalt. This is the glory of grace, the miracle of the gospel, the power of the forgiveness of sins, as we're going to sing after the service to the Apostle Paul, greatest missionary the world ever knew. You know what he said about himself? Chief of sinners, though I be, Jesus shed His blood for me. To those who humble themselves, Jesus gives His grace. Amen. And now may that peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Page 16.